The secret to well-being is discovering the power that is your birthright, the power to create a happier, healthier life drawn from our own vast internal resources. Join Jules and her guests as they gently guide you to shift your perspective from the familiar negative to the divinely connected, a place that will not only positively impact your world, but possibly shift the planet. It's all right here on Law of Attraction Talk Radio.
Welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm Jules from beautiful Southern California. Well, how are all of you out there? Did you survive the end of the world on May 21st? Do you know of anyone that raptured right out into those cosmos? Well, it was fun, wasn't it? We're going to talk about that a bit later, but I want to let you know about our show tonight and our special guest, Soul Life Coach Kelly Knuel, who is the author of an absolutely fantastic and special book called An Inner Journey, A Guide to Living Your Best Life. I think you will notice as we talk to Kelly a definite shift in your vibration. You'll want to stay tuned for this because it's a great show right after these words.
You are listening to your daily dose of well-being and inspiration on Law of Attraction Radio Network at LOARadionetwork.com. Hear this incredible show on your smartphone through Stitcher.com, which goes through your car stereos with Ford Sync or any auto dashboard that has the internet. Listen to our 24/7 broadcast with our mobile app as well, or just listen through an MP3 player or computer. Remember, LOARadionetwork.com, heard in over 120 countries. Is the radio station for your well-being.
Need help realizing your dreams? As a hypnotherapist specializing in the law of attraction, Jules Johnson can help you to break through your critical mind into your manifested dream. Get started today by going to lawofattractiontools.com. Set up a personal Skype video or phone session. Law of Attraction Tools is there to help you turn your desires into reality. That's lawofattractiontools.com.
Okay, we're back. All right, let's talk about the rapture a little bit more. Didn't it remind you of the Y2K and the scare of the computers going down when we have the turn of the century? It's funny how comical this is. It's kind of like we need the scary movie to get our adrenaline going, isn't it? Then there's this guy called Rael, who claims to be our Lord, who's just entered the picture. Wow! I thought if a savior ever returned, it would be for sure a woman this time, but no, it's still another man. And he's scaring the bejeebies out of people, and he wants your money, honey. And he's talking about the next few months are going to be even worse than we could ever imagine. Oh, gosh. Well, thank goodness. There are still those who choose to believe that the best is yet to be in the next few months and even beyond. You know, I hope this helps to alleviate the fears out there, especially in the mainstream around December 21st, 2012. When everyone wakes up on December 22nd, people just need to realize that there's going to be another person out there working on another fear story, wanting to knock you right out of the feeling safe and secure place. It's just how we are. Well, my question is this. Those people who really believed down deep that they were going to ascend up to the heavens in the rapture and yet didn't, what kind of future did they create for themselves? Now, let's put it into better perspective because I believe they had the greatest intentions of saving millions of people by purchasing signs and advertisements with their life savings. I think all of them were very, very caring people. But it will be interesting to see what they created for themselves in this unshakable belief that May 21st was the end of their life. And there's still those who believe that the next few months are just going to be terrible with finances and food shortages and tornadoes and earthquakes and all that. Well, what are they creating for themselves? Take a guess. I just had a person come to me and said, oh, you better watch out. California is going to fall into the ocean again. Well, in any case, we have all bought into the doomsday scenario one time or another in our life. I did as a 10-year-old because Edgar Cayce told us that California was going to fall off into the ocean. Well, that fear of losing my family and friends, my home, my pets, was just horrible. For many years, I was only able to manifest and create my reality from a place of insecurity and fear of the future. And yet, here it is, 40 years later, and guess what? Well, California is still this beautiful paradise, and it's still around. Now, when I heard about the Mayan calendar and about 2012, I felt the fear rise up again, but I immediately started exploring what it really meant. And I found out that it means something totally different than what the fear-mongering people believe. Now, there are some people who feel more familiar with living in fear and actually prefer the drama of it in their life, and that's okay for them. There are many who go a step further and wish to make money from this. And that too is okay because they are feeling a need. But I have discovered that they are vibrating now at a different level than I am. And that's the way I want to keep it. I want nothing more than to feel safe and secure. And it's my choice to feel that way. So every morning now, I get up, I take my coffee, sit out on the deck, feel the sun on my face, hear the birds sing, and I think, yes, I am safe and secure. I am in paradise. I am extremely abundant. I am happy. And I am blessed to be alive. Yes, I am safe. And I am secure in every area of my life. I love it. What a way to start the day, huh? Again, we can choose what our future is going to be like. We can create a different reality from what others are creating. Let them create for themselves what they like. But in my world, I'm creating paradise. And I welcome anyone of that same vibration to come and join me. Now let's get on with tonight's show. Kelly Knuel, at the age of 6 weeks old, had a near-death experience that left her highly intuitive and conscious of the innate wisdom. She remembers her experience clearly and remembers that it's her life journey to empower people back into their magnificence, wisdom, and intuition. As a child, she could meditate on the couch to quiet the thoughts in her head. And at the age of 7, she was writing 20-page streams of consciousness papers that consisted of God, love, angels, and heaven on earth. At the age of 9, Kelly discovered automatic writing, and by the age of 10, she was communicating with deceased relatives, giving people comfort about their loved ones' transition, and regularly communicating with the angels. At the age of 15, she began hearing, seeing, and sensing from beyond the veil. And it was just as her angels promised her when she was 6 weeks old that someday she would hear them again. At the age of 21, Kelly started her own company, Coaching From Within, where she has been guiding individuals back inward into the truth of who they really are through her telecalls, webinars, and monthly healing activation circles, as well as her soul readings. And now at the age of 36, Kelly wrote a very, very special book called An Inward Journey, A Guide to Living. Now, before you listen to tonight's show, I want you to pay attention right now to your current energy. Ask yourself, how do you feel right now? Okay, and then after the show, I want you to tune in again, and I'm pretty sure you are going to find yourself in a higher state of vibration, and you're going to feel great. So let me introduce Kelly to you now. Welcome, Kelly, to Law of Attraction Talk Radio.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Well, it's great to have you here. Kelly, this book is really a great instructional book that gives you step-by-step instructions on getting connected to your soul and getting the answers for any issue that the reader is having. It's really a great book. What inspired you to write An Inward Journey?
Well, for me, starting from an early age, I had a very heightened intuition. And so I started to notice that people were making their life decisions based on concepts of the mind. And they were having a harder time going inward into their heart and soul and looking inside themselves for ideas and clarity and guidance and tapping into their own source of wisdom. So I began in my work just working with a lot of different people from a lot of different backgrounds and life situations and scenarios, and began to compile these particular practical tools and techniques that I found were simple and easy to apply that worked with everyone. And so to go on an inward journey, being the title of my book, is about dropping inward and inviting the mind that's a part of the journey into the heart energy. So the book really became a resource created from a compilation of all these beautiful tools that I found were working really gently and powerfully for a large group of people that I'd worked with over the years.
Kelly, I rarely hear people describe themselves as soul life coach. What does this mean, and when did you start this?
I became a soul life coach at a really early age, at the age of 19, a little bit before there was such a thing as the internet and before the life coaching was kind of a booming idea. So for me, I had a near-death experience at 6 weeks of age, and with that beautiful experience, it enabled me to really come from an intuitive, soulful place. And so I found that doing what I did for a long time, when I was younger actually, was counseling people from the heart. And then I felt like, you know, people could really use a little more instruction and a little more kind of coaching, inspiring and motivational energies. So I put the idea of soul counseling in with life coaching. And I decided I would love to be a soul life coach, to really coach people, which I believe is about giving people tools and techniques to do it on their own, about their life, but from a very soulful place. So really I created the soul life coaching from an innate gift that I really have been using since I was a young child.
Mm. Tell me, what happened when you were 6 weeks old and you had the near-death experience? Do you remember it, or were you simply told about it?
Well, officially I had spinal meningitis and told the story, yes, of the incubator, and I was told the story of flatlining 3 nights in a row. What I remember is kind of a high laughter story where I came down and felt like it was too dense here on the planet. So I do remember traveling through a very beautiful neurons of love and light back up to the angelic realm and requesting that I have the veils removed around me so that I could go back onto the planet and be of greater service by being able to really maintain and sustain the heart energy throughout my life. And so that's really where it was. And my mother, fortunately, was a second grade teacher, so she had kept the stream of conscious writing I was doing at second grade about love and follow your heart and, you know, open up to God's love, but it was about angels and just this beautiful essence of dropping into the heart. So it was really coming, you know, deeply through me at an early, early age. And I, often people will say, you know, were you scared? Were you nervous? You know, how did you stay with this? And I will say that from my own walking on the earth experience, it's the same thing I remind everyone about, which is when you really drop into that place that's so beautiful and sacred and amazing, your heart, your intuition, you're actually finding a very beautiful, expansive energy that you know as what I like to call kind of a home frequency, a frequency of familiarity and comfort. So for me, when I came onto Earth in the first 6 weeks, there must have been a part of me that didn't have that sense of connection that I decided, time to check out, and then time to come back on Earth, but make sure that that connection to source energy is very open and clear.
As I mentioned earlier, this is really a great book for instruction and tools on how you can connect. So at the beginning of the book, you talk about creating an altar in which to begin your connection. Let's talk about this.
Yes. So it's important to have an outer manifested field of energy that represents your inner heart. And oftentimes what you'll find in creating an altar is you already have stuff in your life that you've been attracting or magnetically feel really good when you have it around you. Colors, shapes, symbols. So creating an altar is basically creating a sacred space that you're deciding you're going to put these energy things, pictures, like pillows, just all these wonderful things that mean something very precious to you. And it is a visual reminder on one level to begin going inward. Then when you have the reminder and you actually take action and you sit in that space and you've got these beautiful things around you of pictures and maybe smells that remind you of something, comfortable pillows, it doesn't have to be a lot of things. It could be one or two or three. But then when you sit in that space, you're actually creating an aura or a frequency of energy that you're choosing to entrain to. So the heart energy that's already brilliant and amazing inside yourself, when it sees that you are creating an outer world that you're nesting yourself in, it comes alive again. It really begins to find this like vibrations attract energy field and begins to match that field inside yourself and then the altar. So it's a very easy practice to begin with, as once again, we oftentimes want visual reminders. So it's a really good, oh yeah, there's my altar. I'm going to sit for 1 minute, 10 minutes, whatever, and really sink in. So it's one of the key beginning points that I put in my book as something to create that is giving you the alignment with your commitment to going inward.
You also talk of automatic writing, which I find so fascinating. And you also talk about writing as fast as you can. This is great. Tell us more about this.
Yeah, so I like to call it awakening to the voice of your soul. So basically what you're doing is activating yourself beyond the conscious mind and all the chatter. And you're allowing yourself to take pen and paper. And if you can imagine the infinity sign, the eight on its side, it's really about having a conversation with your soul and it listens to you. And then it answers back and you listen to it. So it's a very beautiful rhythmic dance. So journaling is a little different than this because journaling can feel sometimes like a one-way street. Mm. This is actually like, hey, I got my cell phone to my soul, and you answer, the soul answers, and he or she, it is able to actually begin giving information. Now, the reason you're writing really fast, your feelings, your thoughts, your emotions, is because you are releasing these energies from being in the beta or conscious mind, and you're choosing to open your heart to receive clarity and guidance from the depths of your being. So there's a lot that goes on just simply by you sitting down and choosing to put the pen to the paper.
What do you suggest we write about? Do we write about our issues? Do we write about our pain? Do we write about our frustrations? Or what?
You can write about everything, but you really want to make sure you're writing about your thoughts and emotions. And then the next step, and this is what takes it a little bit different than just journaling, is you ask your soul a question. And that's the key. So, And so my question is this in my highest good to do? Okay, then question mark. Then the key is you're keeping the pen to the paper. You're really tuning in and allowing in that moment after you ask a question for you to receive. And this is where people often will say, oh my gosh, I'm not sure if that's my mind talking to me or my heart or my soul. So what I say in that regard is keep doing this beautiful exercise, because your heart, which is to me the same as your intuition, your soul, it recognizes that you're committed to looking beyond the constraints of your mental mind for clarity and guidance. And so initially, maybe the first couple days of using this technique, people find that they just feel something beautiful. They may not feel like what comes on the paper is that clear to them, but when they choose to tune into the feeling, it's like, whoa, I just had this surge of calm energy come over me. And then you keep with it. You just keep doing it. And as you do, boom, literally on the paper begins to represent the clarity and guidance in words that your soul is bringing to you. And then you go, you're having a dialogue. Then you say, thanks for that information. I have another question. Then you ask it another question. Pen to paper, writing really fast, and there again, your soul then shows back up and gives you clarity and guidance.
Oh, that's brilliant. So what is the soul?
In my experience, it is the higher visual of who we really are. When I say visual, it means that it's the part of us that has all solutions, all answers, all ideas, clarity, and guidance as to why we're on this earth, what we're here to do, and even the minute details of what the next step is in our lives to go from point A to point B to point C. So for me, I refer to the soul as the all-knowing part of us that while we're here in the microcosm of our soul experience, being in the human form, we have access to tune into the macrocosm of who we really are, to say, hey, you have a higher visual of what's going on out here. Can you give me some insight? Can you help me? Here's where I'm at and what I understand. Can you help me get this from a deeper level, a more wise level? And then also with that, it goes to another level of what I call bridging or downloading the essence of your soul onto earth. So there is a time where you move away from questioning your soul as if it's outside of yourself to actually recognizing that you and your soul are one and the same, and that you're willing to align with the grandness of who you are and live on a daily basis like a walking meditation, where you're constantly getting out of your own way and allowing that greater part of you that's grounded into your body to share in a very easy, effortless way the journey, the path, the trajectory of your world. So basically, I feel it's just an expansion with more information than the mind could ever gather about the truth of who we really are, which has all the information to share with us on a human level with what we're here to be and do and how to do it in truly the most heart-centered, glorious way.
But it's true, isn't it, that we simply need to get out of our own ways in order to receive the answers that we already have and get out of our own way that we can connect to the soul and get those answers.
Well, there's a couple ways to look at that. The way I like to do it is that I see my ego and my mind as actually kind of a lost puppy that's looking for a home but doesn't quite know where the home is. So the way I look at it is the heart, which is still you consciously saying, okay, I'm ready to bring that lost puppy home. And so you take your intention to bring the mind into the heart. So for me, I like to think of it as a union or a collaboration. Like, hey, come back home. This is where you can rest. And so by doing that, the mind unites with the greater part of who you are, the soul energy with the wisdom and guidance. And you're still having a beautiful co-creation together. You tell the mind, this is, you know, my dreams and desires, and it comes from a soul level. And then the mind listens and plays it out. And then the mind comes back with its fears and its worries and its doubts and its belief systems that are holding you back from having things that you desire. But you're coming from a centered place of a more expanded self. And so you recognize where the mind is limited. And you love those belief systems that no longer serve you back into the heart of love. Simply through intention and expression of, like, imagining the heart energy just hugging it and welcoming it back home. That's how I like to look at it.
Now, you like to ask for confirmation of what your soul is telling you by signs.
Yeah, so I like to call things on the paper and off the paper. So when you're using the technique and you're taking the pen to the paper, you're really opening up right then and there to the pen to the paper, to connecting with your soul, asking it questions and receiving whatever you're feeling and receiving in words. Then you're done with the paper. And then you're going out in your world and you're very sensitive, you're hypersensitive to what's showing up. And this is basically calling for the world around you to attract into your life confirmation. Give me a sign. Show me if this is in my highest good. And so this is what I call off the paper. The world around you begins to light up where it's trying to get your attention through so many different means. And I even have a tool in my book where I say, you choose a sign. So years and years ago, I chose pennies. And I said, okay, universe, every time I see a penny, I'm going to know that's a sign from my beautiful soul letting me know I'm on the right path and everything's great. And so I find that I find pennies in really special moments right when I need it. And then I pick it up and go, thank you so much. This is my sign that I'm said I wanted to receive, and it's just kind of a different kind of confirmation. So I invite everyone to know that they too can request a sign, and then knowing when you see it, it's kind of a double beautiful gift because you chose it and you get to see it manifest in form. So it gives you a warm fuzzy.
Oh, I love it. Absolutely love it. Tell me, how do angels come into play with all of this?
My experience over the years is that around Earth, there's a beautiful aura of angels, an angelic realm that's just of the purest of heart and of insight. And so as a soul, we can choose to come through the angelic realm down to Earth. And so by doing that, the angelic realm is actually really specific to Earth. And it's the beings of light, like I like to call them, are divine beings that are the entourage of beautiful ones that support and surround us always. And so for me, I look at it like my soul is the one that traveled through the portal of all that is, through the angelic realm that's always there onto Earth. And so they are then available for everyone to be your best friends, if you will. The ones that you say, can you guys help me with this? Can you guys help me with that? And so the expansion of who we are as a soul is already imprinted with the angelic love and light. So when I'm in my human experience requesting the angels to surround me and support me, I feel like it's still the soul essence of who I am calling in these beautiful friends to say, you know, this is a different journey for me on Earth, and you guys know how this Earth school works. So I'm going to go to you guys basically as a soul to request to know how to go about X, Y, or Z. So it's kind of like you can look at it three tiers. One is you can see yourself as the human communicating to your soul, who the soul is then communicating to the angels. And the angels then give the soul the answer, then you're open to listening to what your soul has to say to you.
Oh, I get it. That makes so much sense. I love it. In one of the chapters, you mentioned surrendering. Why do we need to surrender to what we think we are?
Yeah, this world, Earth, has so many ideas and concepts, cultural beliefs, you know, parental beliefs, societal creation, so many things that our mind picks up on and begins to structure into a certain idea of who we are. And when we're really looking at our lives only through the mind's eye of who we think we are, it's very limited. And so we go like a hamster on a wheel, and we create all these perpetual patterns and ultimately end up getting the same results in our lives. However, many can relate to seeing the same results, but somewhere inside you feel like you want to break out of that jail and you want something new or different. So when I say surrender, it's like dropping the mind that's so limited, running on a wheel, thinking it knows all these new things, when actually from an aerial point of view, it's just doing the same thing over and over and over again, but calling in different people to play out the scenario different. So it's like, oh, that's different, when really it's not. So when you are willing to surrender, you're willing to drop that mind, that lost puppy, into the sacredness of your heart to say, there's got to be something different for me to be able to do to get new results. And obviously my mind is kind of stuck in a record. I'm willing to let that go and go into a new corridor, a new chapter of my being, and find a new solution. So that's what surrendering means. You're willing to open up to new perspectives, new ways of being, and new ways of living your life, because you're willing to see that what's happening in your life is not working for you, and you'd like to have new results.
Wow, I am just loving this. Absolutely. In one part of the book, you talk about identifying the payoffs. Let's talk about what you really mean by payoffs and how do we identify them?
Yes, beautiful. So as I mentioned earlier, when you're able to see that you're running on a hamster wheel, you're creating your life based on belief systems, ideas, and concepts that are like a magnet. You brought them in, and they are like a magnet sending a vibration out to the world, requesting that that same energy field come back. So I used to have a self-fulfilling prophecy, which is, you know, if this happens, then this will happen. So I used to say, if people don't show up, then I get to feel sorry for myself. Well, I kept that pattern going for a long time because I was receiving a payoff. And the payoff I was receiving was, if people don't show up, then I can feel sorry for myself. And then the payoff was, I could blame people. I could say, you did that to me. You didn't show up for me. And I got a payoff by feeling sorry for myself, because emotions can soothe even if they are in the dynamic of feeling sorry for yourself. And then I got to blame, point the finger outside myself and say, you know, it's your fault, not mine. So what I'm specifically looking at when we are talking about payoffs is, what are you actually getting out of running the same pattern over and over again? So for me, I used to play that out as a child. But what happened was, I noticed when I started my career at 19 that if people don't show up to my business, the whole old idea of then I get to feel sorry for myself wasn't working for me, because I wasn't making any difference because people weren't showing up. I wasn't making money. I wasn't being of service. So then it was like, oh, I'm not getting the same payoff anymore. I'm actually not happy with this. So I bring that up because oftentimes it's hard to see what our self-fulfilling prophecies are and our payoffs are when we have blinders on and we're just running in the hamster's wheel. So what you can start with is identifying the payoff, actually kind of working it backwards, by looking at your life in an area where you're recognizing you're getting results you're no longer happy with. And then you really allow yourself to drop into your heart and ask yourself, or you can ask your soul, what am I getting out of keeping the cycle going? And you're really going to look for sort of an emotional charge. And then oftentimes the answer will also be, you can blame someone else, or you get to be the victim, or, you know, you get to kind of persecute someone else. You're going to find that the payoff has something to do with blaming or looking outside of yourself. But around that, there's some emotional charge you're getting from it that's important to also look at. So for me, the emotional charge was, I got to feel sorry for myself. And that felt really good because no one really felt sorry for me. So I was just kind of giving myself that pleasure of feeling sorry for myself. And then when I was kind of feeling sorry for myself, then I got to say, well, mom or dad or, you know, this or that did that to me, and keep the cycle going until I recognized this isn't working for me anymore. And that's the thing I want everyone to really pay attention to, is what is actually not working for you anymore as a result in your life. And once you identify that, you step one step backwards and go, wow, I'm getting a payoff from this. There's something I'm energetically or emotionally or physically able to do that's keeping this going. And that's where you begin becoming self-aware, and you begin taking responsibility for your journey, and you're willing at that point then to say, wow, this is not something I want anymore, and I'm choosing to let this go. And that's part of the surrender and letting go. You could use the tool in my book of writing to your soul, letting your soul know, hey, this is not working for us anymore. Thanks for showing it to me. Let's surrender this. Let's let this go.
Can we ever evolve to the place where we can stop feeling sorry for ourselves? Or can we just hope that we simply don't stay there in that feeling sorry for ourselves feeling for very long?
Yeah, great question. I feel that all emotions are clues to us. So there's a very different perspective to be kind of poor me, like, oh my gosh, I'm in the drudge and the druck of this again, and this is just coming up again and again and again, versus self-awareness, where you're like, wow, this emotion is coming up as a clue for me. This is awesome. I get to be awake and aware and see this unfold. So I'm choosing to look at this and say, you know, no more. So therefore, in that experience, it's a gift that the emotion came up to get your attention. You're self-aware enough to say, yeah, I see this, but I don't need to be staying in this. And then what does happen is that whole issue, that whole energy field that used to attract maybe scenario after scenario, once you recognize it and you really see it, then you go, oh my gosh, yeah, clearing this. And then you do not attract that kind of stuff anymore.
Oh, well said. You know, you talk about the law of attraction in the book, but let's go further into how do we know how to identify exactly what we want because of all of our emotions, and there may be leading us falsely into something that we don't want.
Yeah, so I think it's very normal and beautiful to start with what we think we want. That's fine to begin your list, your desires, your needs even, from the level of, this is where I'm at right now, this is what I think I want. But just imagine that that's the mind, the lost puppy, taking its, you know, scripting down what it thinks it needs. Oftentimes those are more immediate needs. It comes from a little bit more of a survival mechanism because our mind has that whole survival reptilian energy to it. It's got this whole, I got to survive. So it wants to come into tunnel vision and go, these are what we need. So once you do that, then you can take it to your heart and you can take it to your soul and say, these are the things I'm coming up with that seem like more immediate needs for me. But I'm willing to open up and allow myself to experience far greater than just these minute needs, these immediate needs. I'm asking you, soul, to show me, bring to me more amazing things than this, because I'm open to receiving what it is that actually will be of the greatest service to me. Now, the key here is that when you say that, you really mean it. Mm-hmm. Because oftentimes your soul is going to bring you the exact most amazing things you could ever desire in your heart, but it's packaged in such a way that your mind was not prepared for it and so kicks it out of the room and says, nope, we don't want that. You have to be willing to receive all packages and all forms and be in the heart. And this is really something important I want to share also. A lot of the mind is so afraid, well, what if it's not what I want? Or what if it's not what I know how to handle? Or what if it's, you know, all these what if it's not? And that's the mind. So the heart will always, the soul essence of who you really are, always know that you can receive so much more that goes beyond the fears of the mind. So it's only the mind's fears that kick the present out. So the more you can practice, like lifting weights and building your muscles, the more you can practice trusting yourself. You're trusting your soul energy, you're trusting the angelic realm, you're trusting the bigger picture of who you are to bring to you exactly what is going to meet the greatest, highest good for you. So I just like to really remind everyone that one of the points I see in life of transitioning from not receiving the greatest things that you desire to actually receiving them, it's walking across the bridge of letting go of the fear of the mind that you won't know how to handle or have enough knowledge to face, or you don't want to be visible in the world, so you don't really want to be, you know, famous or what have you, to walking across that with your heart open and partnering with your divine heart to say, I'm courageous, I've got this, I know it's going to be greater and greater and greater every step I walk.
Wow, that's powerful right there. That's brilliant. Before we go any further, I want to make sure everybody realizes that you created two new videos exclusively for the University of Attraction, and I want you to tell people what they are about.
They're going to be about showing you in 30 minutes each one, so very in-depth. The first one being showing you how to clear some of your old money stories. So really showing you how to drop the mind into the heart and really stay in that sacred space. And then the other one is about having a relationship with the divine within yourself, once again, using some metaphors and analogies that I come up with that really will ring true to you guys in your heart and really help you guys put things into a visual of what I'm talking about, and giving you some practical tools and techniques of how to go on an inward journey.
I have seen these videos personally, and I've got to tell you, they are exceptionally powerful. I was really, really impressed. And I can't thank you enough for being a faculty member there, because I know all of the students are going to love these. Now let's get back to your book, because you state that principles are natural laws that cannot be broken. And you list 12 important ones that we always forget. But since we're getting close to the end here, we only have time to talk about a few. But I think these, the ones that I've chosen to talk about, may actually be a sign or two to a couple of people listening. So anyway, you state everyone gets what they need exactly when they need it.
Yeah, that's a great one to start with, because once again, the mind is in a survival mode, and so it's got this huge need list, and oh my gosh, we have to have one before the other, and we better compile them all together, you know, safety, security, and that's all a false illusion. The truth in your heart is that you're going to receive exactly what you need exactly when you need it. And that's the point of letting go, surrendering, and trusting what I call divine timing, not human time. And so this is a really great universal law or principle of light when you can align with the idea that, okay, wait, this isn't showing up for me yet. And instead of getting frustrated and annoyed and worked up about X not showing up for you, you align with the understanding that, okay, there's a reason this isn't showing up for me right now, and I'm going to just set it free. It's clear that it's a desire of mine. I've also let my soul know I'd like this or something much greater. So my soul is going to bring it to me in the most amazing package. I'm just going to rest in the knowingness that I am an open field of light. I will receive exactly that of which is in my highest good exactly when I need it.
Do our emotions get in there and kind of block things from occurring, or do we just accept that whenever it's going to happen, it's going to happen, and just to surrender?
There is a little mix of the solution there, and that is that we can have in our subconscious thoughts, our mind, in the idea of blocking the thing to come to us because we may not think we're ready to receive it yet. So the key there is, if it's not coming into your life, number one, always align with, it's going to come when I need it to come. I'm going to rest on the, like you're allowing yourself to dive back into this big throne. And you're like, I am safe and secure knowing that this is all going to come when I need it. And then imagine a little child comes into the room and hands you a piece of paper. And you open up the piece of paper and it says, you know, Dear Kelly, you don't believe that you can actually receive this amazing new house. So if you're willing to let go of this idea that you're not good enough to receive it, then let's let this go right now. And you will find that you will remove this block from your field of energy, and you will then be able to receive it. So then you go, oh, wow, now I have clarity that I was holding myself back from receiving this based on an idea I had in my mind. So first of all, diving back into the energy field of I trust it's all coming as it needs to. And when you are there, you're actually so open that you're willing to let your soul show you if you are holding on to anything that's keeping you from receiving it into your life. And so it is a process, but like I said, it's really on a per situation basis, because there may be something that you have no blocks around, but the other people are not ready yet. Moving into a house, if you think you need to move in by June 1st and the other perfect house is not available till July 1st, well, the universe might put you, or your soul might put you in a temporary housing for a month. You might meet the most perfect person you would have never met before if you didn't have that 1 month in between homes. That person becomes your newest best partner in business, and you open up a whole new franchise together, and July opens, and there you have your perfect home. But you needed to go through this detour to be able to meet this new person, and ultimately you got your home anyway. So it's really about opening up to the adventure and the joy of life while you're willing to let it all go. And really it turns back into your heart and soul of trusting that I'm on a magical journey here, and I'm willing to surrender where I need to surrender. I'm willing to pay attention where I need to clear my old blocks. And I'm willing to state my needs and let those go so that the greater experience can show up.
Wow, I love it. Now, some of the others that you list as the 12 important natural laws are, there are no accidents, and one of my favorites, what you resist will persist. But I think there needs to be some discussion around this one. There is no reality, only our perception of it.
Absolutely. And so once again, you can look back into your childhood when you were young and small and short, and you looked up to the world. You looked up to an adult, just for example. Your perception was, wow, this person's a king or a queen. They're big. And then you started developing, growing, and began to see life from a new perspective also. And as you did, you forgot that you once saw life from a particular perspective. And so as you began looking at life from a new perspective, my invitation in this principle is that the mind can trick you into believing, let's say you're in a job and you do not see any way to get out of this job because you think it's got this financial security for you, you think that it's got, you know, the health benefits for you, and your family is definitely relying on you to work this job. However, you're so unhappy. So when you're buying into the whole energy field that this is my reality and this is what I have to face, I mean, look at everyone around me is doing it, then that's an example of thinking your reality is real and it's the only road for you. That's a perspective that you're looking through the lens of life on. But when you're willing to let go and go, okay, what if I can live outside the box? What if I can use my soul to show me something much different than where I am today that fits into following my heart and my soul's purpose? Then I'm open to the idea that all of this is just an illusion and I can mold it in whatever way I want. Now, it's not like a manipulative molding. It's a surrendering energy to the part of you that knows how to show you, wow, you know what, you're actually really gifted at alterations and sewing, and you end up opening up your own sewing business and end up making clothes for homeless children, and that feels so rewarding and of service to you. Well, you can go from working for someone else and being unhappy to creating your own business with your sole purpose through the bridge of recognizing that, oh my gosh, this world I'm in right now doesn't have to be my only idea of reality. I can expand beyond this. I can meld this into something different. And the way to go down that path I have found and what I teach in my work is, okay, now that you recognize there is another choice in life, there's always another choice. New doors are always available to be opened. That's what it means when your reality is just an illusion. There's many opportunities, many doors. Are you willing to go inward to ask your higher self, your soul self, ah, there's a new door? Show it to me. I'm ready to go down that path.
Wow, this is such a powerful interview, and I'm so delighted that you came, Kelly. Now may be the perfect time to tell everybody what makes this book so special, besides all of the wonderful instructions and tools. There's something that you will feel when you pick up the book and start reading it. Tell us about that, Kelly.
Absolutely. You know, everyone loves a little special bonus in their life. Well, I have embedded a special gift into the book. And basically what it means is that as you have that book in your life, it has sacred geometry or a frequency of a high vibration. So when you are just holding the book, when you open the book up, when you read the book and use the tools, any of those different levels, you're actually going to be receiving an activation of your soul energy into your physical, mental, and emotional bodies that's going to meet you right where you're at, exactly what you need, when you need it, how you need it. So it's a beautiful energy session every time you have that book in your presence. Yeah, that was very much my intention, so that you could have that extra energy of momentum to guide you so that you get the real-time results. Since you're really devoted and committed to awakening, it's just another vibrational energy that you're meeting up against to really raise your vibration to the next level that you're absolutely ready to be in.
And I can vouch for the energy. I felt it. It's there. Every time you read it or pick it up, you just feel wonderful. Kelly, I can't thank you enough for coming on. I want to give everybody information on how they can get this incredible book. Go to www.kellycanull.com. That's KellyCanull.com. Go there. Look at her website. Look at her soul coaching, because I know it's fabulous, and all of the other goodies on her site. Take advantage of it. And I just know that after listening to this show tonight, you're going to want to ask yourself, am I feeling better, more uplifted now than I did at the beginning of the show? Well, if you feel better, you can attribute it all to Kelly Canull. Kelly, thanks so much for coming on. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thoroughly enjoy you at the University of Attraction, and I look forward to having you on again.
Thank you. I've loved it and appreciated every moment to share this love and light with the world. So much love and appreciation to you as well.
Thanks, Kelly. Wow, I feel great, don't you? It's time to say goodbye again. But I'll see you back here next week. Love to you all. Bye-bye.
Thank you for choosing to be with us on Law of Attraction Talk Radio. Remember, let the ripple effect begin with you as we all connect together. If you have comments, please contact Jules at loaradionetwork.com. Have a happy week.